All right, joining us, John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle, but fans, more importantly, John is an author, and John has got a hit book that has come out. It came out on Tuesday. We had John on from spring training in Scottsdale when the first galleys came out about this book. It is outstanding. The name of the book is 24 Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. And obviously you know who that is, and that is Willie Mays. So, John, you have had quite a week this week. The book came out on Tuesday. What has your week been like?
Well, I took several days off from work just to be available because the publisher had lined up quite a few interviews, and I'm talking in the dozens, and obviously everybody would like to hear about Willie Mays, and with the new book coming out Tuesday, it's been quite the whirlwind from New York to San Diego and everywhere around here and everywhere in between. So it's kind of an amazing ride to be able to tell Willie's stories and explain that a lot of this stuff is history, but it really hasn't been told in this format.
Well, I was lucky enough to go along with you while you were putting the book together in a very limited way, but I got to see how hard you were working and how this book came together. And John, you've interviewed over 200 people on this book, and it's got a certain format to it. Maybe you can share that, because everybody should get it. Anyone who's within listening of Willie Mays and this program knows what Willie means to baseball, what he means to the country, especially this time what we're going through. And it's just a great story of Willie. But tell everyone how you put this one together and kind of what the format is, because it is different.
Well, thanks, Marty. Yeah, there are 24 chapters, and each, you know, it's life stories and life lessons. So each chapter begins with a Willie Mays lesson on life and baseball, and from there it's a lot of storytelling, and it's formatted in a way that I don't think I've seen in another book, and that is, I'm setting him up. I have all these interviews, like you said, 200 plus, and that goes widespread: Negro League teammates, childhood buddies, current Giants, managers, Hall of Famers, broadcasters, commissioners, presidents, musicians, artists. So I obviously spoke with a lot of people and did a lot of research years and years, but it is focused on Willie, and everything Willie says is in bold print. And I set up his commentary. I put the ball on the tee for him. He hits it out of the park with everything he says. But the stories I gather from others, I bring to Willie, and he amplifies them. And sometimes I'll go back, but it's, you know, a series of storytelling. It could be on the biggest games of his career. It could be on his five-tool prowess. It could be on his numbers looked at through the lens of today's analytic experts. It could be his relationships with his dad or Barry Bonds or Monty Irvin and Leo Durocher or Hank Aaron. And it's 24 chapters, and each has a lot of detail and storytelling that I wanted to make sure was new. If there was ever a quote from Mays or anybody else in another book or any periodical, magazine, documentary, microfiche, newspaper, anything that was ever used in the past, that's gone. That's not usable. So everything is new and exclusive and fresh, and that's, I think, the beauty of it.
Boy, what fun. John Shea with us. The book, of course, is out, and it came out Tuesday, 24 Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. I was lucky enough to get to know Willie over the years, sitting with him, doing shows with him and things like that, and hearing some of these stories. And what impressed me about Willie, really, John, this is a man who's born in 1931, and his life spans so much of history, of the Depression, of the Civil Rights Movement, of the growth of baseball, the integration of baseball, and everything after that. Is there a particular part of the book that you said, wow, this is something I really want people to know?
Well, I think it wasn't a given in his history or any other baseball or sports document that has been published what exactly he meant to the civil rights movement, because Jackie Robinson was somewhat critical of him in the 60s, especially in a book he wrote in 1964 that Willie just wasn't doing enough. And so I didn't know if that was true or not, but I took Jackie's quotes and I talked to many people who were aware of what Willie did as a player and what he did off the field, you know, from Joe Morgan to Henry Aaron to Frank Robinson to Maury Wills, Reggie Jackson, so many people. And unanimously, they all had stories and anecdotes about, no, that, Jackie wasn't exactly right on that. This is what Willie did for me. And I said, okay, all right. Well, that's great, because I didn't know that. So that is a major part of a chapter. And, you know, Willie explains what he did. It wasn't out front. It was often in a clubhouse, behind closed doors, behind a dugout, at home. And he also set examples that other younger players lived by and tried to live up to. So, you know, from that venue, I think it was somewhat revealing. Maybe another side of Willie that maybe nobody knew in the past other than these folks I spoke with.
And he still does that today. See, that's the amazing thing. At 89 years old, he still does that with players today. You and I have seen it in the clubhouse and how he embraces the young players today.
And you tell a story for the final chapter, in which is it's kind of a tribute chapter, in which a lot of people weigh in who know him well, including his close friends who hang out at his house or his suite or have known him forever. But you weighed in on an interesting story. Do you remember the story you told that was published on the Nancy Sinatra? It was pretty emotional stuff.
It was amazing. It was one of the most emotional, unique times that I've ever had in my life. And I've done a lot of criminal law and all sorts of different cases and things. And to be up there with Willie in front of 1,000 people in Palm Springs at the Barbara Sinatra program that we did in Palm Springs
to benefit
her program for abused children. And one thing, when I did these shows with Willie, I never knew exactly what he was going to say. Really, we would tell the same stories a lot, and the catch and this kind of stuff, and we tease each other, but I never really knew. When I asked a question, what is, and you know that, because you know you've been around them enough, you never quite know what his reaction is going to be when you say something. So I got to the end of the program, as I say, Al Rosen was in the audience and other baseball people, and I said, Willie, how would you like to be remembered by the fans? What would you want people to remember you by? And he started to cry. And, he's basically said, I played for the fans. I played for you. And he just broke down. And I didn't know what to do. And, gave him a handkerchief, a tissue, whatever. But then led him on to, how he played and why he did that. But to see him break down like that and knowing how he related to the fans, he's a showman. And everything he does is on a grand scale for somebody else, not for him. And I think that's the thing about this book that I learned in listening to all the stories, that Willie gives of himself to people. And that's something that's not well known. And for me to see it firsthand when he answered that question, it was a moment I'd never been through in my life.
And I would ask the same question and get an answer such as, it wasn't what I want to be remembered for. It's what I did for others that I want them to remember so they could pass it on to the next generation. That's his whole thing.
That's
because
right.
He was tutored by Monty Irvin. who played in the Negro Leagues, was supposed to be the Jackie Robinson before Jackie Robinson. He went into the military, came back, wasn't in physical or emotional shape to be that guy. So Branch Rickey said, okay, Jackie, you're our guy. And Monty went from the Negro Leagues to the New York Giants and was quite a bit older when Willie came along in 51, but they were roommates, and Monty guided him and taught him and tutored him and mentored him and sent him down the right road. So in turn, Willie tried to do that to others, you know, from Bobby Bonds all the way to Barry Bonds and everyone in between and prior. So his whole thing is, listen, Monty taught me, I taught you, you teach the next guy.
Yeah, he did it with Jim Ray Hart. He did it with McCovey. Very, very much a big part of the Giants. Here's one thought that I had and that I think people would be interested in. How long did it take San Francisco to embrace Willie Mays, and was he aware of it? And what were the first years like for Willie in San Francisco? How is that handled in the book?
Yeah, that's it's the first chapter and it's the first paragraph about how San Francisco was Joe DiMaggio's town when he arrived in 58 from New York. He's the greatest player in baseball, the biggest showman, the most entertaining, the most durable. He played every game. And yet when he comes to San Francisco, people here from North Beach and all throughout the city said, wait a minute, we know of a center fielder. There's nobody better than Joe DiMaggio, who played here and came up through the San Francisco Seals of the old Pacific Coast League before he emerged into a superstar with the New York Yankees and won World Series every year. But back in San Francisco, before Major League Baseball moved west, it was all about DiMaggio. This is DiMaggio's town. Now you're saying this new kid is better than DiMaggio? You know, let's see. And, you know, he'd go 2-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts. Oh, he ain't no DiMaggio. DiMaggio didn't do that. You know, he might have made an error. Oh, DiMaggio didn't make any errors. And as goofy as it now sounds, he wasn't fully embraced when he arrived in 58. And obviously, I talked to a lot of old-timers, like Eddie Montague, the umpire, like Gary Hughes, the scout. I mean, these guys grew up at Seal Stadium. They saw plenty of Willie in those early years at Seal Stadium. And they say, there's nobody better. We love them. But there were others, including reporters, including some, not all. I mean, most, obviously, Bob Stevens loved them. All these, true baseball people really loved them. And maybe the contrarians needed something else to write about. And maybe the fans who loved Joe D so much were hesitant to welcome the man. But anyway, he almost won the batting crown in his first season. He puts up big numbers every year. But maybe, and I speak with a lot of people, maybe he wasn't for all truly welcomed or embraced until that stretch drive as late as 1962. I mean, they came in 58, but it was maybe late in 62, and Mays went off in September. He had the big home run in game 162 to beat the Houston Colt 45s with an eighth inning home run that broke a tie. And then they waited for later that day for St. Louis to beat the Dodgers to create a 162 game tie, forcing a best of three series with the Dodgers to determine the pennant winner. And Mays homered twice in the opener, once off Koufax, got a big hit in the third game. The Giants won and then played the Yankees in the World Series. So at that point he was universally loved, but maybe before that, only 99.9% of the people truly respected and admired what the guy did. But, I mean, there were boos early on when he wasn't perfect because everyone said, okay, this guy's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And, you know, by then, DiMaggio had been gone for many years, and the legacy keeps getting bigger and bigger and better and better. So Mays had a lot to prove, and he certainly did it. So he went over everybody, and why not?
Oh, it's great. It's all in the book, and it's all firsthand, and Willie comments on everything. And, boy, we could talk, you and I could talk about Willie for hours, about the basket catch and the catch in the 54 World Series, the catch off Bobby Morgan, throwing Billy Cox out at the plate, and being the captain for Alvin Dark and all that stuff. But it's all in there, John, and I don't think anyone could have done a better job. And I just congratulate you on it, and you're having a lot of fun with it, and you deserve it. The name of the book is 24 Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. And, John, I guess we get it anywhere, right? It should be available everywhere.
Yeah, where you normally would order books. I mean, I'm told that starting tomorrow, Target is going to run specials on it for the next month. It's available at Costco's and all these essential places that are open. Unfortunately,
wow,
the local bookstores are closed, but bookshop.org is where people can support their local bookstores and order through there by just throwing in your zip code, and then that helps the local guy, the smaller guy, bookshop.org.
But, oh, terrific.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, it, you know, on Amazon and everywhere else, Barnes & Noble, it's, of course, available. And in fact, Barnes & Noble, they cut a deal with St. Martin's Press, my publisher, and Willie and I do it a very extended Q&A as a bonus chapter at the very end of the book. So with pages and pages and pages of me and Willie just kind of talking and talking and talking. And then we talk about everything that's not in the 24 chapters, like, you know, funny stories about the sitcoms he appeared on, the game shows, you know, why he was afraid of Bob Gibson and certain things like golfing with Dean Martin and Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino and Arnold Palmer and all these off-the-wall stories that I just thought were hilarious. And so after the fact, we kind of relive some things we didn't approach in the book, and it's pretty entertaining stuff.
Well, it's terrific. It really is terrific, and I congratulate you on it, and it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing you and Willie again soon, and you're welcome anytime. We should do another segment or two on just some of the stories, but it's all in the book, and no one has ever written a Willie Mays book like this one. So congratulations, and look forward to seeing you, John.
Well, very nice of you. Thanks a lot, Marty.
All right. That is John Shea of the Chronicle. We've got more coming up right here at KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.